Blog Talk Radio.
I've always known that the government
society, the churches have a problem with so-called Hebrew Israel, of, you know, how we portray ourselves and what have you. And I can't say we, but to say some. And typically, the world gravitates toward negativity. If you are do anything that they perceive to be negative, let's say in business, if you provide bad service, that travels quick. As long as you're doing, you provide a good service to people, they will usually not give you a comment. They won't say anything nice. They won't say anything negative. They won't pass the word. Most people, okay, but let you do something, give somebody bad service, then that spreads like wildfire. They'll tell their mama, their daddy, their brother, their sister, tell everybody in the world. And so I believe this is a problem that our people have gotten, those that have been awakened, to who they are as a people. And, you know, we have some, I'm going to say bad actors out there. They may be chaos agents. They may be whatever. They may be awakened and, you know, this is what they're supposed to do. I can't say. One thing I can say is that a lot of people get branded based upon the negativity, okay? And so guilty by association is what the world will do. So I wanted to, you know, go on record officially for, you know, the masses, for the world, for anybody that wants to hear. This is what I believe it means to be a Hebrew Israelite and go through the scriptures concerning it, Old and New Testament. And so before we jump into this, I want to remind everybody about the new moon service on the 18th, the evening of the 18th, okay? And we will be in celebration of it, in observance of it, the beginning of the month, as we are commanded to keep. And we're commanded to keep it in righteousness. So, you know, we're going to do this. And so I want to invite everybody to it, and that you would be in observance of it and participate. Okay. Now, let us go ahead and do the necessary. We want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be, whether it's in North America or South America, whether it's on the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, the communist bloc country. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. You may have all the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads toward the east. And let's do our statement of faith. And we will be in this statement of faith at some point, breaking it down as well, because these are our statement of faith actually reflect some of what we are, why we believe who we are. Okay? So, our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20-21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just glorify you on this morning, and we lift you up and we magnify your name. And we extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We lift thee up on high, and we bless thee, Father, with our praise, the praises of our lips. Hallelujah. And the worship of our hands. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory upon glory upon glory, and majesty upon majesty upon majesty belong to you, O Yah, and to you alone. Your glory and your honor and your majesty, you will not share with another, Father, and we give it only to you, Father, not to another. worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Father. We adore. We give you adoration. We give you glory and honor, for you are alone are worthy of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep through all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sin and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening or on this morning, we ask that you would smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Praising the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. You're at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scripture. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. So excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high
to worship you.
My
knees
all praise
to you.
Up high
to worship you.
I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication.
When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation, only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise to worship you. Bow down, all praise to you. Up high. I need you, yeah, I need you, yeah, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, oh, I need you, I need you, oh.
Go to Acts chapter 23, and I'm just going to read through 24, verse 14. so that we can, you know, get a picture of this. But the reference is not really about Paul's being captured and taking, you know, his journey to Rome, which is what this is covering, but Paul makes some statements in here, okay? And it, in conjunction with the rest of the scripture, you know, is where I base stand us being Hebrew Israelites. First, let me say this. No man first told me that I was a Hebrew Israelite. The Most High told me. Then I was like, could you prove that in the scripture? I was like, no, I can't, because I couldn't. And the Most High sent me somebody to lay it out for me. Okay, so first he told me, and then he sent somebody to lay it out for me. Now, being that, then I had to learn to walk in this heritage. I had to learn to walk in my birthright. I had to learn to accept who I am as a person, not what men say, who men have labeled me, an African-American, a Negro, whatever. Those are the titles that men have labeled me. But what the Most High told me is, no, you're my people. Okay? And so I had to learn and believe that and walk in it. Doesn't matter what men have labeled me. It's what the Most High labeled me. And so this answer came back to me in prayer, and then he answered me through other people, not by me asking. I was just on the mic talking. And like the Most High said, okay, now I'm going to send you somebody to tell you. Just like he sends me to people to tell them. I'm going to send you somebody to tell you to break this down for you. Okay? And so I had to start walking in this and learning about it and unlearning some things that I had previously learned and believed. Why? Because it's what I had taught, was taught. And so, but with Paul, Paul is the last apostle to come on, okay? And the Most High needs a lawyer. Paul is a lawyer. I'm going to make some changes to the law. I'm going to make some modifications to the law, and I need a lawyer to do that, a fisherman, a tax collector, whoever else, the fisherman, the tax collector, the tent maker, whatever these other apostles were, their occupation was not good enough to make changes to the law. You need a lawyer for that. And so the Most High selected Paul. Now you've been, you know, Paul was killing the early church. And he thought he was doing a good. And the Most High met him on the way, on the road to Damascus, fire there, and he was converted, but he still was a lawyer, okay, and he knew the law. He had studied under the feet of the best at the time, Gamaliel, so he knew the law, and he knew what changes the Most High was going to teach him, what changes and how he wanted it worded, okay. Now, we're going to look and see what Paul actually says. We're not going to go over Paul, all of Paul's writings. There's only really one particular scripture that I want to use, because for me it summed it all up. And then we will get into the precept on today. We're into it, but we'll get into the details. Acts chapter 23, starting in verse 1. And Paul earnestly beholding the council. Now he's under arrest. He is being interviewed to see, you know, interrogated to see what they're going to do with him. Okay, because he's been charged with something. And Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before Elohim until this day. The high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him, smite him, hit him in the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, Elohim shall smite you, thou whited wall. Now you pretending like you, Paul is saying, hey, you pretending like you're all this and that and a bag of chips. But you are white on the outside, meaning you look clean on the outside, but inside you're dirty. For sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? So again, you are saying that you're judging me according to the law, and the same law that you're judging me to says, hey, you ain't supposed to do this to me. And they that stood by said, revilest thou Elohim, thy priest? Are you, what, you questioning the Most High High Priest? How dare you? Then said Paul, I was not, brethren, that he was the high priest. I wish not that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. So because Paul said he was, now he's using this to get his audience. You want to have some people on your side. You don't want everybody against you. So he uses this tactic. Let me divide them up. The Pharisees believe in the resurrection of the dead, and the Pharisees don't. Not the Pharisees, but the Sadducees don't. Okay? And when he had said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the multitude was divided. Now, let me go into my thing. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. If y'all got him here because he believes in the resurrection of the dead and in spirit, we can find no fault in him. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against Elohim. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him to the castle. So Paul has started this division amongst the elders and amongst the Pharisees and the Sadducees, those that were going to condemn him. And he said, hey, they only got me here because I believe in the resurrection from the dead, and I believe in spirits. And the Pharisees were like, hey, we believe in that stuff too. We don't find no fault in it. If that's what you got him here for, we ain't finding fault in it. So there's this big fight, and the guard there, these are Roman guards. They don't know what's about to happen. So to protect Paul, they take him into custody. And the night following, the Lord, or Yeshua, stood by him and said, be of good courage, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Now, Messiah had already told Paul when he selected him that he was going to end up doing this. Rode his mechanism to get to Jerusalem, to get to Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, these 40 men, apparently they're not of the Pharisees. So they are probably believing the believers of the Sadducees, and we're going to kill this man. We're going to put this doctrine, this what he's teaching, to death. Okay? Now therefore you with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow. Now let's conspire. Y'all going to send word to the chief captain where Paul is being kept and tell him that y'all need to talk to him, as though you would have inquired something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. So we, whenever he comes near, we are ready to kill him. And Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait. He heard about the plan. He went and entered into the castle and told Paul. And then Paul called one of the centurions unto him. The centurions of the Romans said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he has a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him, prayed me to bring this young man unto you, who has something to say unto you. Then the chief captain took him by the hand, went with him aside privately, and asked, what is it that thou hast to tell me? What you got to tell me, young man? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council. And so they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. They're going to pretend like they want to know something more, to explain something more that they don't understand. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from you that you're going to bring him. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea. So this is where they're going to keep Paul at. And horsemen 70. So 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and spearmen 200. That's 200 plus 70, 470 men to guard Paul. And at the third hour of the night, and provide them beer and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. He wrote a letter after this manner, Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor, Felix sendeth greetings. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Now, Paul claimed to be a Roman citizen. And so being a Roman citizen, he was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen. And so he provoked that invoked that so that they couldn't kill him and the Romans would have to protect him. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council. So when I wanted to know what they were accusing him of, I brought them into their council to see what you're charging him with. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, verse 29, whom I proceeded to be accused of questioning their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death of bond. So they're accusing him of something that ain't against our law. It's against their law. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. So I'm sending him to you for your protection. You should give a commandment to his accusers that they come and tell you. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him to Antipatris. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. When they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Sicilia, I will hear thee, said he, or is he up under my jurisdiction? And evidently he was over Sicilia. I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So go lock him up in Herod's judgment hall, and I'll hear him when I hear them. Acts chapter 24 and verse 1. Now, again, this is laying the foundation. I just wanted you to understand what was going on with Paul, because the statement that he's going to make later on is what this whole precept is based upon. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullian, who informed the governor against Paul. Now, Tertullian is like the prosecutor, and he's going to bring Paul. And when he was called for, Tertullian began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. So he's sucking up to the governor, Tertullian. We accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. We thank you for the peace that you bring us, okay? Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. We have found this man a pestilent fellow, a bother. He's a pest and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So they accuse him, Paul, of a lot of things, who also has gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, so they were, if you go back to Acts chapter 21 and you read that, the crowd was going to kill Paul according to the law, because they are being told that Paul is teaching that the Jews don't have to keep the law and that they don't have to be circumcised. But Paul never taught that. That is what he's being accused of. Okay? So he's saying, we would have killed him, but Lysias, the sea captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. We were about to kill him, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. So you examine him and see if the accusations are correct. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him, so you know they sent everybody that was against him, nobody for him. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. I'm happy to speak before you because I know that you've been a judge over this people for a long time, for many years, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. They didn't find me committing sedition. They didn't find me raising an army. They didn't find me talking against the temple. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto you, that after the way we saw heresy, underline that. You're told that, hey, if you're a heretic, if you don't believe what the masses believe, if you don't believe what the common everyday church believes, then you're a heretic. So the church stays within certain doctrines, and they stay within certain traditions. But they're the doctrines and the traditions of men. And they call it law. Okay? So I want you to understand this, that in modern day times, men and governments make their laws, but their laws are based upon their doctrines and their traditions. Saying, hey, they can't prove what they're accusing me of, and I'm going to confess that after the way which they call heresy. Now, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written. Where? Written where? In the law and in the prophets. I believe all of the law and all of the prophets, with all the things that have been written. But why are they calling this heresy? Okay, so if you are... I can tell you right now that if you believe all of the word of the Most High, the law and the prophet, if you believe them and you walk in that, they're going to call you a heretic. And they're going to say that you preach heresy. And if you claim to be the people of the Most High, and I'm going to say it this way. The Most High says, if a stranger joins Israel, so if you are not of the bloodline, and you join Israel, you shall be as one born in the land. And you are required to follow the set time. If you are homeborn, meaning that you are of the bloodline, then you're commanded the same thing. So it doesn't matter how you become an Israelite, whether by the blood or whether you join, you are to be considered as one born in the land, a citizen, with all the same rights and all the same responsibilities. Okay? So after the way which they call heresy, and I'm talking about the world today, the modern day church, the modern day government, the modern day police force, Because if you serve the Most High and you believe in keeping his commandments, over there, you're a heretic. And you teach heresy. You practice heresy according to them. If you say that we are the people of the book, because somebody else has already claimed that. But wait a minute. We have the Mormons claiming that. They're the Hebrew Israelites. We have the English, the royalty in England, teaching that they are the Hebrew Israelites. Other groups can claim this, but don't let a black man claim it. They don't call the Mormons heretics. They don't call the Queen and King of England heretics for saying that they are the people of the book. But if you as a black man say this, then you're a heretic. And you're talking heresy. But I go by what God told me, by Elohim told me. I'm not going by the testimony of men. I got on my knees and went before the Most High. Why is it no matter how much money we get, no matter how much power we get, no matter how much education we have, me as a black man, so-called African-American, Negro, in America, no matter how much of that I have, I could become the president of the United States. They still are going to see me in a negative light. So this is what we are dealing with. And this is what we as a people have to understand, that we can never relinquish this. Because no matter what, especially in a nation that says you have freedom of religion, and you can worship whatever and whomever you want to worship, if the Elohim of the Bible speaks to you and tells you that you belong to him and you're his people, and it's not because of, and it's by the bloodline, do you believe men and who they say that you are, or do you believe the Most High Elohim? I choose Elohim. And I don't choose to believe what men say. Men who I've been placed up under through my heritage of my forefathers going into slavery can label me whatever they want to label me. It does not change the fact of what the Most High has labeled me and has told me who I am. So after the way that they call heresy, serve I and so worship I, the Elohim of my father, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophet, every last word of it. And I believe that if you are a Hebrew Israelite of the flesh, or you are a stranger that joins, then you must believe in the law and in the prophet. And you have to understand what Messiah did when he came. And you have to believe it all. Can't pick and choose. Can't manipulate it. And that you need the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High, to discern for you. Because if you come of your own understanding, then you will come up in error. You will have the fact, but you will come up with a lie. You will not come up with the truth. You must be inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh. This is what this verse means. This is what line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, means. Let me arrange the fact for you and give you the filter by which you are to understand the scripture, because I'm the author of it. I know what I had written, and why I had it written. I know what line goes upon what line and what precept goes upon which precept. I know where the bits are together. So I will teach you. And I will give you the understanding. Now, the understanding that the Most High gives me is contrary to whomever's belief. I'm responsible for my salvation. I can't save anyone. Only the Most High can do that. And so what I believe that it means to be a Hebrew Israelite is that you're going to walk in his laws, his written laws. You're going to walk in what was written by the prophet. And the Most High is still able to talk to you outside of that. And what he tells you outside of that is for you. And that he says it's for everyone else. To bring you closer in your walk with him. That you will walk in obedience. That you will do what he has told you to do. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understand, when I was in the Pentecostal church and I first heard about being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High, and that you weren't saved until you got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, that was a process that the Most High took me through. Because every church and every organization does not teach as a doctrine that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't teach that it is a physical thing, that it's a literal thing. Oh, you believe in Messiah? You got baptized? You're wrong. It doesn't happen that way. Sometimes it happens that way. More likely than not, it does not happen that way. So the mere fact that you believe and you got baptized doesn't make you filled with the Ruach. Doesn't make you filled with the Spirit of the Most High. Did you truly repent? Did you truly turn away from your sin? Did you ask the Most High? Because if you're not even taught to ask him for his Spirit, you're going to go down in that water, get baptized, and come up. I'm a changed person. That is not how it works. And so the Most High has to, you have to be filled with his Spirit. That's number one. I don't care whether you are Jew or Gentile. When it comes to salvation, the Most High said it don't make a difference if you are a Jew, because that's the way that they want to use them. But it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For we are all one in Messiah, in Christ. Then they try to say, oh, well, this is proof right here that a woman can teach. Or that a Gentile can do these things. Okay, it's not saying that. It's talking about salvation. When it comes to salvation, there is neither Jew nor Greek. When it comes to salvation, there's neither bond nor free. When it comes to salvation, there's neither male nor female. Not only males get saved, but females get saved. Not only do free people get saved, slaves get saved. Not only do Jews get saved, strangers get saved. This is what it's saying in that verse. That's all that it's saying. Salvation is to everyone. And the Most High is going to have mercy on everyone that calls him, those that fear him, and keep his commandments. No matter where you come from, salvation is open to you. That does not cancel out his law. Does not cancel out what the prophet said. And people try to use these verses and use the New Testament to cancel out the Most High's law. Paul told you, I believe all things which are written in the law. Even the things I'm going to modify, that the Most High is going to have me to modify in the New Testament, in the New Contract. So So I'm not canceling out the law. I'm not saying that you don't have to believe in the law, that you're not subject to the law. There are things that the homeborn have to do because they're homeborn. They're of the flesh, of the blood. And there are things that the stranger must do. And the law distinguishes between the two, so that everybody can enter in salvation. But if you're going to be a Hebrew Israelite, then you're going to have to join Israel. And not the Israel that is in the world today. And not that they're, you know, that I'm speaking anything against them. If they're trying to bring about the kingdom of God on earth, but you know, you can't do for Elohim what he's going to do for himself. And you can't make the word of Elohim come true, because every time men try to make the word of Elohim come true, they mess it up every time. Look at what Sarah did with Abraham, trying to bring the word of Elohim true. We got a people who now they believe in Allah. Trying to do a good, trying to bring the word into fruition. Now, you know, the most I said this is going to happen, this is how I help them make it happen. Every time we try to do it ourselves, it gets messed up. The most I don't need any help. He just needs obedience. Now, he only wants obedience. So he wants us to obey his law, obey his voice, and which are written. A lot of people don't want to believe what's written. They don't want to believe what the prophets have said. And so they will make it up on their own. That's your opinion. Well, what did it say? Now let the Most High convict you, because every person has to save themselves. So what I believe it means to be a Hebrew Israelite is that you are going to obey the statutes, laws, commandments, the ordinances, the judgments. Obey the voice of the Most High as he has it written. He will speak to you in other ways. He can come to you in the night, in visions, and in dreams. He can tell you, hey, don't go there. It doesn't excuse you from doing what is written and obeying what is written. And so we have to understand this. The Most High can make whoever he wants to be a member of Israel. He can make whomever he wants to be a member of the body of Messiah. He has to choose. He's the one doing the calling. He's the one doing the choosing. He says, and what I'm choosing, I'm not looking at male or female. I'm not looking at bond or free. I'm not looking at Jew or Gentile. Because we get caught up in that. That's why he says, don't get caught up in genealogy when it comes to salvation. Now, when it comes to who I've assigned what, then you got to look at these things, because there's some things that are in my law that I don't permit just anybody to do. There's some things that are written in my laws that I don't permit you to do on certain days. There's some things that are written in my law that I'm looking at the condition of your heart. You still got to obey, but I'm looking at the condition of your heart. Why are you obeying? What the New Testament is teaching us. You got to obey his laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments out of faith. This is what our forefathers lacked. How can I read that as a Hebrew Israelite, read the scriptures, and it says that my forefathers lacked faith? They lacked truly true belief. And what I said that I'm going to do, I'm going to do. Even when they saw it, they still lacked faith. They lacked belief. They could believe me this far, but not as far as I wanted them to believe me, that they would govern their lives by it. And when you try to do that in today's society, mankind has written his own law, his own doctrine, his own tradition, transgressed the commandments of the Most High. As a true Israelite, if you say this is who you serve, then you cannot obey the laws that man has put in place that transgress the laws of the Most High. Every example in the scriptures, whether it's from Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whether it's Joseph, what separated them apart from all the other people is they obeyed the Most High, even when it put their life in jeopardy. Don't care if I'm not in my own land. The Elohim I serve, this is what he said. And I know you made a law to bow down to this statue, Nebuchadnezzar. But my God, my Elohim said, only bow to him. And I know that you want to impart fear into me by threatening me with death or jail time or what have you. But for my God, I'll do that. I fear him more than I fear you. This is how the true Israelite has to believe. And if one becomes a part of the body of Messiah, that's how they have to believe. That I will worship and serve Elohim and keep his law where yours transgress is. If you men make laws of the Bible, the Elohim of the Bible, then I will follow the Elohim of the Bible. That is a true Christian, but that is also supposed to be a true Hebrew Israelite. We're not supposed to walk around fear-mongering. We're not supposed to walk around preaching hate, because our king commanded us not to do so. Love your enemies as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Love your brothers. Keep my commandments. Don't approach my commandments with your carnal knowledge. Because with your mind, your natural mind, you cannot discern my law. You will use them and twist them to your liking, to do what you want to do. And at the same time, if my law allows for something, don't you disallow it. Because you personally don't like it. Follow every word that comes out of the mouth of Elohim. Messiah said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim. Every word that he had written by his laws and by his prophets. And when we come into the knowledge of that, that we're supposed to keep that, that is what we're supposed to keep. If not, we have no integrity at all. If we don't, then we serve the Elohim of the Bible with our lips only, but our hearts are far from him. Because Most High, you know, I know that's what it says. I know that's what you had written, but I don't agree with that. I think in this situation, I know better than you. This is what man has said. And so men, all men don't follow the Elohim of the Bible. And all governments don't follow the Elohim of the Bible. All people don't follow that. But they can be making laws in the land, in their own land. And I need to get my keys. My alarm is going off. Let me play a song and I'll be right back. Now, let me find it. Oh, somebody got it. All right. So let's continue. This is what he means by you worship him with your lips, but your heart is far from him, because if you don't obey him, if his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments aren't in your heart to do them, then you're only worshiping him with your lips. You're saying one thing, but you're going to do another. Your actions aren't going to be based on what he says. It's going to be based upon what you say and what you want. And those things that may be legal in the eyes of the Most High, mankind will contradict it because, oh, well, we don't believe in that. So we'll make a law against it. I don't care if somebody's gay. What they do in their bedroom is up to them. But the Most High says it is an abomination. So it is an abomination. That's just a fact. And if men make laws that make it legal, that make it acceptable, doesn't change the word of the Most High. I can't follow after the doctrine and the traditions of men to please men and say that I follow the Elohim of the Bible. So we got to understand that anything that is contrary to his word, anything that men do that transgress his commandments, those things that are written. So the Most High said, hey, I never wanted the blood of bulls and goats for sin. I never wanted that. Those animals were created and were sacrificed to be a pleasant smell in my nostrils. And when I allowed you to use it for sin, it stank. I never wanted that. So I came myself to make a way for you to return back to me. That was going to put an end to having to sacrifice bulls and goats for your sin. I came to put an end to that. I never wanted it to begin with. So once and for all, here's Messiah, come up under his blood. And don't sin anymore. But what have men done? They have misinterpreted, whether by mistake or intentionally, that you're only human and you can sin and just ask the Most High for forgiveness. And not distinguish whether, hey, it was willful or whether it was an accident. And so, in misinterpreting the scriptures, they teach that the Elohim that we serve is an all-merciful, all-forgiving Elohim, no matter what you do. And that is true up until the point that it's not true. That is true up until the point that you contradict him in his word. He will forgive Jew and Gentile alike. Forgive man and woman alike. He will forgive bond and free alike. But he has commandments that govern each of those. Jew and Gentile, there are commandments that govern the expected behavior. Man and woman, there are laws that govern the expected behavior. Bond or free, there are laws that govern the expected behavior. He didn't delete those things. He didn't get rid of them. He says, I'm freeing you from your sin. Your transgressions against me. That don't mean that you as a slave, if you were in slavery, are free now to go. If the Most High sets it to where you are set free, then you are free. But if you are to remain in slavery, then you are still to be obedient to him. It doesn't change that when he says there is neither male nor female in Messiah, that he never allowed a woman to be in the temple, to work the altar, to make the sacrifices in the synagogue. It don't change those facts. But we want to use those today to say, well, there's neither male nor female, so there's no law saying you can't do it. Yes, there is. That's why it says, I command your women to keep silence in the churches as it says in the law. Somehow that last part of that we just don't hear. We don't want to hear. Because we want to do what we want to do. So we set up law. And we set up doctrines and we set up traditions that contradict it. I am Elohim and I change not. If I didn't change it, don't you change it. I didn't give you the authority to change my law. I did not give you that authority. I don't care who you are. If you walk on 2 feet, you breathe there. I don't care at what time, unless the Most High sent you to change the law. You don't have the authority to. The Most High gave the law through Moses, a man. So the Most High came into the world himself to reiterate his own law and to explain it. That's not what that meant. That's not what was intended. This is what I allowed at that time. That was never the intent. So now I'm here to set it in order, and this is what I expect. Then we don't want to believe that. Oh, wait a minute. Can't believe in Messiah. Well, yeah, we want to be forgiven for our sins, but we don't want to believe that. So his own people that he came to give the oracles to rejected him. Not all of them, but those that were in power rejected him. There's no way as a Hebrew Israelite of the flesh, and the Most High telling you that's who you are, that you can read this book and then not believe what is written. Not believe and keep by faith in Messiah the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the ordinances, the judgments of the Most High. Messiah didn't come and die on the cross for you to say you believe in him and say a transgressor. That's like a mother or a father having a child that runs up debt constantly and they keep paying it off. I'm doing that. I'm going to clean your slate one time. I'm going to pay your bills one time. Don't run them up again. If you get a bill, it better be by accident. You better not intentionally go up there and charge on this credit card, which you can't pay. Oh, no, what the world is teaching? Well, just confess it. Yeah, I charge again. Forgive me. See, that's a lie. That's satanic. It is contrary to the word of the Most High. And so, in order to be a Jew indeed, you have to obey the Most High indeed in everything that you do. That's a true Jew. That you believe and obey the Most High in everything. Indeed. In what you do and what you say and how you walk. It's not expedient to do everything that we're allowed to do or not allowed to do. But it doesn't take away the right to do it if you know how to walk in it. So So when the Most High says, sleep. Well, how did he put us to sleep? I made you forget who you were. I caused the nations and used them to make you forget who you were. I put in them to commit conspiracy, to take away your heritage, that you would not be a people anymore. But I said that I would wake you up and I would take you back. We have to believe all that and walk in it according to as the Most High has told you who you are. If you don't believe that you're the people of the book, then don't walk according to the book, because you don't believe it anyway. But if you claim to be a Hebrew Israelite, every word that is written in the prophet and in the law, and even in the New Testament, you must believe. The beginning church was not Gentiles. The beginning church was Hebrew Israelites. And because the powers to be rejected the gospel, Moses said, I want to use this to send this gospel to the rest of the world, to Jew and Gentile alike, to male and female alike, to bond and free alike. You've got to understand that, hey, hear my voice and obey. In every nation, those that fear me and keep my commandments and work righteousness are accepted with me. Not in every land, those that hear my word, hear the gospel, and believe that I sent Messiah into the world and don't work righteousness by keeping my laws, they're not accepted with me. So if you are a true Hebrew Israelite, then you were born of the flesh by the blood. You heard the gospel. You believed it. You believed in Messiah. You recognize in your spirit that you are one of the people of the book. The Most High confirmed it in your life. And then you got to walk in his way. Even if it's contrary to what the world says. Even if the world says you are a heretic. You have to believe it and walk in it. Because it doesn't matter what the world says about you. What matters is what the Most High says about you. And if you fear men more than you fear the Most High, then you got something wrong. You got something wrong. And if you believe that going through the motions, claiming that you're a man or a woman of the Most High, and you don't have the Ruach, you haven't repented and turned away from your sins, and you haven't been chosen by him, but you're going to follow the traditions of our forefathers, you're going to keep his laws, but not really. Because Most High looked at your heart and said, hey, not me that you're really obeying. You have an identity crisis. So you're worshiping me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You appear before me as though you belong to me, and you claim it to belong to me, but you don't obey my voice. You're not my people. You don't belong to me. So if you are a true Hebrew Israelite, because see, we are a people that lost our nationality. When you no longer have a country, you're no longer that nationality. You might be that nationality, but you don't really care. You're just a person without a country. You still have your ethnicity. Let me say it that way. You have your ethnicity. Hebrew. But in order to come back into Israel, you must be accepted by the Most High. Because see, he says, I'm going to gather you all out of all the countries wherein you were spread, where you were scattered. and the rebel I'm going to deal with. Because you've been saying your mind and you're still in rebellion. You're still not obeying me. You don't get your citizenship back. Matter of fact, you didn't even tell anybody that you belong to me if you're not going to obey me. But then you cause the nations to profane my name. So this is not just a matter of just saying that this is who you are. It's a matter of being who he says that you have to be. It's a matter of obeying, obedience to him, not to man, to him. To my brothers and sisters who are in the churches, who say you believe in Messiah, who believe that you are not up under the law. Paul never taught that. Paul taught you in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, he believed all things which were written in the law and in the prophets. Taught was, Messiah brought you from under the charges of the law. You had a rap sheet. I paid the price to get you out of jail. I paid the price to spring you from jail. Not only did I spring you from jail, I had them to expunge your record. That's what Messiah did for you. He didn't say it was now okay. Well, I'm not, you know, now that I have expunged your record, there's no law for you to follow but to love your fellow man and to love the Most High with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. Because the Most High says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, well, the only commandment we got is to love him. No. Go back into my covenant. I said I would write my laws in your heart and in your mind. And that you would keep them by faith. Because you believed in them. Problem is, people don't believe in them. They have no faith in them. So what does it mean to be a true Hebrew Israelite? Because you can become a Hebrew Israelite or an Israelite by joining yourself to Messiah. He's the King of the Jews. And the law says that if you believe and you agree to keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High, that you could join. That you could become as one in the land. There could be one law. One set of laws for the stranger and the homeborn. And the stranger shall be treated as the homeborn. You don't come and get to be treated as the homeborn, but you're a lawbreaker. For Messiah, they don't keep the Sabbath. You commanded that we keep the Sabbath. They're not keeping the Sabbath. They come in and doing whatever they want. They're washing the car. They're washing the ox. They're touching the pork, slicing it up, and eating them. The very things you told us not to touch or eat, they're doing it and saying that it's okay. But I have a law saying don't do that. And if you want to come close to me, if you want to be as one born in the land, then you must obey, whether you are Jew or Gentile. Now, to get saved, I'm not saying that you had to meet all the requirements of the law. But once you are saved, and once you say you want to join, and you want to be a member in the body of Messiah, you must obey the law. The statutes, the commandments. Want to keep the Passover? What is the law of the Passover? Oh, we don't have to keep those because, you know what? It says that we are to judge one another in the new moons and in the feast days and in the Sabbath. You only get judged. You only go before a judge and are judged when you transgress Who's been dragged into court for keeping the speed limit? Who's been dragged into court for keeping the ordinances of the law of the land? Nobody. You get judged when you break those laws. The same way with the Most High. So let no man judge you of those things, of transgressing those things. Don't let nobody do that. He says, let it not be once named among you that a brother says he's a brother and he's practicing fornication. Don't let it be named once. So you're keeping the law. Because if you find that, then judgment comes. So if you are a true Hebrew Israelite, then you're going to be keeping the laws, the statutes, the commandments of the Most High. You're not going to be making excuses as to why you are not keeping them. You're not going to be worshiping him from your lips and not from your heart. You're not going to say, well, you can't join and salvation is not for you, Gentiles. And the Gentiles are not going to say, hey, salvation is not for you, Israel, because you killed Messiah. Because the Most High said, if Israel comes out of unbelief, Israel can be grafted back into its own tree. He said, it's a weird thing. It's an unnatural thing to graft an unnatural branch, considered to be unnatural branches. And the Most High said, I'm going to graft you into this tree. And when it comes to Israel, he says, hey, it is easier to graft them, Israel, back in to their own tree. So if we are true to the word of the Most High, then the Most High, first of all, had to tell you who you were. Not some man. Not some woman. You had to be on your knees before him. Somebody said, oh, you're a black man. You are a Hebrew Israelite. No. Skin color got nothing to do with it. Why? Because Israel has slept with everything. Everything and everyone. The Most High put that spirit of whoredom on us, that whorish spirit on us. Still doing it today. It's got nothing to do with skin color. It's got to do with, this is the Most I tell you, you belong to me. You are my people. Did he put that in your spirit? Did it cause you to walk differently before him? Did you believe him? Did you change your way? Did you start walking according to his law, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinance? To adopt you as his child? Did he confirm it? You belong to me. Here is my spirit. Because I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you. And my spirit won't allow you to walk in transgression of me. Once you learn and know, it will not allow you to do that. It will remind you. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you're about to disobey? It will convict you. Put the fear of him in you. If you can walk around here and believe that you should not be fearing the Most High, and you don't know the Most High. At the beginning of all wisdom, the beginning of all understanding, is the fear of Him. If you don't have that, you don't have Him. If you don't understand that, you don't have Him. You say you do, but believe me, you don't. If you can place the laws of men and the doctrines of men and the traditions of men over the laws of the Most High, if you can place the time and the fad that be going around over the laws of the Most High, if you can say society now says this, and so this is what's true over the laws of the Most High, you don't know the Most High. He's not in you. He's not with you. I'm going to be everywhere, He commands. Obey my voice and fear me. Everywhere, old and new covenant. And if you're not doing that, trust, you're walking in error. So what does it mean to be a Hebrew Israelite? That you're going to walk in the ways of the Most High. You're going to be a lawful person according to the laws of the Most High. Because men make laws and have traditions that contradict that. So if you're not walking according to His statutes, according to His ordinances, according to His judgment, according to His commandments, according to His oracle, then you're not walking with Him. You're not a true Hebrew Israelite. You're not a true Israelite. You're not a true member of the body of Messiah. A true Israelite must understand that they have to obey the statutes, laws, commandments, the ordinances, the judgments of the Most High. All of them, as they were written in Torah and as whatever He modified in the New Covenant. A true Israelite, Hebrew Israelite, would not take the New Covenant and take the modifications and say that is the entire law. They would realize that they are the modifications to the law. A true Hebrew Israelite would have to understand that my sins were forgiven me for the transgression of the laws of the Most High. They did not delete the commandments of the Most High. They did not delete the laws of the Most High. A true Hebrew Israelite would have to understand that we are the people of the book. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, because who's been in slavery? Over and over and over again. And in these last times, what people do you find that have come out of or been in slavery worldwide, as it is written by the prophet? They don't apply to everyone. They don't apply to every people on this earth. Cannot be the people. It's just that simple. It ain't really that hard. So if you want to steal a heritage, you got to also show where your heritage, your line, your ancestry. It's the prophecy. And not just kinda, because the Most High don't do kinda. Throw a hand grenade and get close and say, oh, I hit you with that one, but I missed you with all this. Everything according to the prophecy must apply. So I don't blame people for wanting to be the people of the Most High. I truly don't. I don't blame them for wanting that. But do you want to suffer the things that the people of the Most High have suffered? Do you want the punishment that the people of the Most High have had to endure for disobedience? Do you want the stripes? Do you want the diseases? Do you want the curses to go along with that? Oh, no, those apply to them. But we the obedient ones, and so we receive the blessings. So I've heard this too. We were the obedient ones, and we received the blessings. And there's a curse and a blessing there. We kept the blessings. We obeyed the Most High. I don't see a people on this earth. When I say a people, I'm talking about an ethnicity. Jew or Gentile. Black or white. Red or yellow. Dark skin or light skin that have not transgressed or have never walked in. There are people who did not know the Most High, so they couldn't have walked in it. They cannot be the people. All those who claim that they are the people, there is none that walked in his way. Yet, you don't find them going through the curses for the people who disobey the Most High. Because clearly in your past, it can be shown, oh, you were barbarians. You raped, robbed, and pillaged. You cheated. You used unbalanced scales. You took advantage of people. You enslaved people. Your ways were not righteous according to the laws of the Most High. They were righteous in your own, within your own law, but not righteous within the laws of the Most High. Standards, but not righteous in accordance to the laws of the Most High and his standards. And if you were the people of the book, then you would have gone through the curse. Just that plain and simple. And you would still be going through the curses because it's supposed to go on until Messiah returns. If you don't find that, then maybe we should not be saying this is who we are. And maybe we should not be getting mad and labeling people as heretics and practicing heresy who do find themselves in that position. What do I believe that it means to be a true Hebrew Israelite? That you are labeled as a heretic by the world for following the statutes, the law, the commandments, the ordinances, and the judgment of the law of the Most High and of the prophet. If you're not being labeled for that, you're not a true Hebrew Israelite. If you are ashamed of that, you're not a true Hebrew Israelite. If you don't wear it with a badge of honor that they call you a heretic because you follow the laws of the Most High, you're not a true Hebrew Israelite. You're not a Jew indeed. If you get your nationality back when you come into Messiah, your bloodline you always had, but your nationality you lost. You are no longer my people. You're not in the land. But you can have your nationality back no matter where you're at in the world. And you believe that he is your Savior. And you come back and you keep my statutes, my laws, my commandments, my ordinances, my judgments. I will write them in your heart. And you will keep them by faith. And you will believe you must do it with all your heart, with all your strength. But this is my desire for my people. And I said I would give them my spirit, that they would keep my statutes, laws, and commandments, and my judgment to do them. So don't worry about the world is saying about you. If you are obeying the Most High like a heritage, I believe his statutes, his laws, his commandments. I believe what has been written in the law. I believe what has been in the prophets. But not only do I believe it, I do it. I live by it. I perform it. I walk in it. Male or female. See, again, there are laws concerning both gender. And we try to justify it. We try to keep track, we try to keep pace with the times. The times of men change. The opinions of men change. The laws of men change. But the word of Elohim never changes. What he intended and what he wants, it don't change. It is written. You don't find anybody adding to the scriptures. Now, you might find people trying to reinterpret. But the Spirit of the Most High will lead you into all truth. Save from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. There will not be a precept on this evening. Still dealing with some worldly things that we have to comply with. And so I'm going to pray that everybody has a blessed Sabbath, that you spend some time with the Most High, that you learn to fear him and walk in his way, that if you are not, if you believe that being a Hebrew Israelite is heresy, and I pray that you call me a heretic. Because I'm going to walk with Paul in this. So let me say it one more time. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Shalom, Israel. And enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Happy Sabbath. And let me find out where the room is at. Oh, here we go. Not that one. All right. Peace and blessings.
Forever, sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion.
it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing His praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and His kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing His praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and His kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing His praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect, and His kingdom will reign.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom, Sister Mary. I had you on mute. Enjoy your day as well.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom, Sister Sharon. All right. Peace and blessings to everyone.
Amen.